Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Nix, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more.
Welcome back to the 5-Minute Business Boost. Today, I welcome back Jess Taylor and Leonie Becker from Sage HR Consulting. Today's episode is part two of a three-part mini-series exploring the essential elements that make successful companies thrive. Our mini-series will include creating a strong company culture, which was our first episode, and that was really good. That had some real insights. Number two, building a performance culture, which is today's topic. And the next episode and the final one in the series will be managing underperformance or bad behaviours in the workplace. So, ladies, welcome back.
Thanks, Sam.
Now, we did note that our first episode, we didn't laugh, we didn't snort, we did quite well. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we don't, snort or snuffle or say something upside down. But let's get into it, shall we? So with the help of you ladies again, we are exploring strategies to help teams and organisations achieve their highest potential. So in today's episode, we're focusing on one of the most important aspects of leadership, and that is setting your team up to perform at their best. So whether or not you're leading a small startup or a large enterprise, how you support, empower, and inspire your team can make all the indifference. There you go, I've stuffed it. All the difference in achieving your goals. A well-equipped and motivated team is not only more productive, but they're more engaged, they're innovative and resilient in the face of challenges. But what does it take to create an environment when your team can truly thrive? We'll explore the key factors that influence team performance and share actionable insights that you can apply straight away. All right, now this is a doozy, ladies. I feel like this one is quite heavy because if you don't do it right, I think there's ramifications. So inspire us, ladies. What is the most important factor to consider or important factors to consider when setting up a team for high performance? And how can leaders assess if their team has the right conditions for success?
Yeah, it's a good topic. I like this one as a topic to talk about with businesses. And I guess, you know, we spoke a little bit about creating culture in the last session, and it really does sort of flow from that. So for me, the key factors from a leader's perspective are you've got to communicate the vision. Often leaders kind of hold that to themselves. They say it once or twice a year, but they're forgetting that the employees or their team, they may not hear it as often as the leader thinks about what the vision is. And so communicating that vision often is really, really essential. The why, you know, and it helps to sort of tap into engagement. Setting clear goals is the other one that Jess and I find a lot. We go into businesses and employees may know what their role is, but actually don't know what's expected of them. So setting clear goals and KPIs, making sure that roles in the business are defined really well. Building trust is another thing for leaders, building trust for a performance business and making sure that the teams have got the access to the right resources and there's a real flow of open communication in the business. And that is not just from the top down, but that trust means that people feel able to be able to share their ideas up the chain as well. So I guess when we're looking at how do leaders actually assess if their teams have got the right conditions, there's a lot of different ways that you can do that, but a couple of ones that we really like, regular check-ins, making sure not just having a one-on-one that says, hey, how was your weekend and how do you think you're traveling, but checking alignment with the objectives. Are the employees still understanding what's expected of them? Are they still aligned? Does that still make sense in an ever-changing world? Seeking feedback on processes and also just observing, like connecting with your people and observing how they're showing up into the workplace, how they're working together, are they collaborating, are they supporting one another, how much friction is there? So there's a lot of things a leader can do, but a lot of it is around actually connecting with the teams and getting their insights and their feedback.
I do like that. I suppose it's almost two-way communication, isn't it, really, in a way?
Gone are the 1980s management style when it was all top-down.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost like it's levelled the playing field in a way, hasn't it, really, compared to what it was like.
Well, I think so many of the successful people in the world, you know, you think of all the big names that you hear about, the one thing that they know and the one thing that they do is they recognise that they don't have all the answers, and they recognise that if they bring the right people into the business and they actually listen to the ideas of those people, they can go much further.
Yeah. So this is a question for you, Jess. How can leaders create that environment that fosters trust and collaboration amongst team members, and which overall is and has to be essential for optimum performance?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think there's many ways for those leaders to build trust in their business, encouraging that open dialogue, recognising achievements, and the main part, promoting that culture of psychological safety. So team members need to feel comfortable, one, sharing ideas, but also, two, making mistakes. So we're all just human, and on any given day there might be some mistakes made along the way. It's not necessarily that they're intentional, and you need to be able to openly discuss those and build systems and make plans to kind of avoid those mistakes in the future. So when employees or your team is sort of comfortable coming to you with mistakes that they've made, it helps foster collaboration and it builds that trust, which is the most important part. So emotional intelligence, which comes into that, is one of the most critical skills that a leader can have.
I don't know about you ladies, but when I was first employing people, there was no such terminology as emotional intelligence.
No, it's definitely a bit of a buzzword in the last few years, but it's unbelievably important for leaders to have.
I think so. I think when you talk to other business owners and organisations, it is a buzzword, but people are keen to learn about it more, to enhance more, and to, I suppose, be able to share that skill, which is,
here's an interesting fact, Sam.
What's an interesting fact?
It is an interesting fact. So with all of the neuroscience and the studies that they've been doing over the last 30, 40 years since Daniel Goleman named emotional intelligence, one of the things that they have worked through is that particularly as a leader, over 65% of your success as a leader, your effectiveness as a leader, is about emotional intelligence.
Wow.
So, which is just being smarter with feelings, right?
Yeah, using them as exactly right. Oh God, but how do you actually quantify that? Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously there's been some work done on that. So this person, can you just mention that guy's name again?
So Daniel Goleman was the what we might call the forefather of emotional intelligence. He sort of named it. And so it's quite new as a science. But it's very much, you know, we know that the brain, the nervous system, everything is connected, the way that we think, we feel, we act. Appreciate we're going off topic here, Sam, but you
where
know
we
it's
are.
Me.
I'm sorry. I will get back.
No, it's me. this is my passion area. So it's, you know, I'm happy to go off topic, but it's actually really critical to performance. So, you know, 90% of high performers have very high emotional intelligence. And so when we're talking about a performance culture and we know that emotional intelligence is key for, you know, leaders, but it's also key for the salesperson, the receptionist, the accountant, it's key for everybody, anyone who interacts with people, because emotional intelligence is about the relationships, about the effectiveness of your decision-making. It's about whether or not you can see long-term and short-term cost and benefit. So many. Maybe we do another podcast series.
I reckon we could almost do one. What do you think, Jess, on emotional intelligence just as a podcast episode? It's fascinating to me. But, yes, we are off track.
you need to make it about a 60-minute podcast if you wanted Leonie to talk about it.
Absolutely. See, she knows me so well.
All righty. So, and Leonie, a question for you now. So, what role then does ongoing feedback and professional development play in maintaining high performance, and how can leaders integrate these practices into their team culture?
Feedback is absolutely essential. Continuous feedback, whether it's positive or constructive.
Yep.
Imagine you wanted to go to the Olympics, Sam, and you got a coach and you got a manager and they met you once and they said, hey, you want to go to the Olympics and this is what you want to do and here's your plan, and here's your coach, here's your, like, training schedule. We'll see you in 3.5 years.
Oh, whoa. Hello.
There's no way that you would make it to the Olympics in that situation. When we look at, say, football teams, they review the games after every game, and there's a reason for that, right? When we get that constant and continuous feedback, it helps team members to understand their strengths and helps them to understand where they need to grow or develop. And so that's just that kind of constant refining of skills and behaviour and being able to uplift people. Formal professional development is awesome for keeping your skills sharp, and it helps to motivate individuals. And we know that it's always the top three things. Why do you stay or why do you leave? It's the investment that, you know, businesses make in my development. So leaders can integrate these practices by establishing things like regular one-on-one check-ins. It's amazing how many businesses we work with that don't have any one-on-one check-ins. They go for months without ever having some sort of check-in with their employees. Offering learning opportunities, fostering a growth-oriented culture, i.e. where people are curious and they want to learn. And making, I think Jess mentioned this earlier, where that feedback is instructive and ongoing, but it's two-way. So the employee feels confident to actually give feedback up the line as well. So creating a feedback loop.
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that, and I suppose once businesses put that process and mechanism in place, it becomes easy to have that feedback loop occurring. Jess, have you got a top tip in closing this series episode? Around this topic? I know it's Leonie's passion, but you must have a top tip.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it really does all come back to that feedback loop and how important it is to implement it and then maintain it as the business continues to grow. So little teaser, I guess, for the next episode, a really good tool that businesses can use for that positive and constructive feedback. It's called SBI, which is working through the situation, behaviour and impact. So we'll be getting through that tool a lot more in the next session.
Oh, that is going to be a good insight because sometimes we can talk about these things, but, you know, we're trying to make it, I suppose, easy for businesses to develop in their HR, I suppose, goals and, you know, forming that culture and becoming good leaders and getting everybody on the same page. But sometimes it's hard if you don't understand the tools or the resources that are out there. So I look forward to that. So, hey, ladies, good job. We didn't muck it up. Well, we only went off track once. There was not a lot of snorting. But thank you for today's episode. I really enjoyed it. I'm learning so much from you girls. Some of this is really common sense when you lay it out. Others, I think there's an opportunity for some more podcasts. Especially emotional intelligence. Love that. All right, ladies. Well, thank you. And I look forward to chatting with our next and final episode. That'll be a bit sad, but it'll be good.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsy, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.